Could you give me, how do you spell God again? God, how do you spell God again? G-O-D. And how do you spell good? Okay, so we've got good, and then we have God. And then we were singing about it, about evil. That was E-I-V-L. And, or I should say, E-V-I-L, evil. And so you put a D in front of that, and what does that spell? Devil. We don't serve the devil. We don't serve evil. We serve a good God, and we do not serve an evil devil. So that's kind of, you can start saying, okay, I'm not serving evil. You can kind of maybe even put a check on you. How are you doing? Are you doing good? And then you'd have to question, well, maybe I'm not doing so good, so then what am I doing? Not so good. And it could even be evil. Amen? In the world we live in, sometimes that's exactly what's going on. It's evil, and then we have a choice to do good. Amen? Do good things. Do God things. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I was thinking, you may be seated. Hallelujah. I was thinking about hearing from God. And on Saturday morning, we have a men's prayer meeting at 7:30. And I'm always asking God, why don't you talk to me, Lord, by the time I get to the church? So when I'm leaving and I'm not too far away, you know, 2 minutes. And many times that God has spoke and I come and it's not anything, you know, like 3 pages, but it's something that spoke to me. And then we come and we talk about it and we eat around it. We're having breakfast. And so I asked the Lord this morning, kind of on the same thing. Well, I didn't get anything at that time, which was all right. But this morning as we were worshiping and praising, it said that God inhabits. In other words, he lives in our praise. So when we start praising him, that's a good channel to open up and say, okay, God. And then he'll speak to you. It's called the prophetic realm, and God's in our praise and our worship. And so this is what I got. I used to never hear him until I went to one meeting, and then I began to hear him. In other words, I gave my life to Jesus Christ back on Super Bowl Sunday, 1979. So I began to hear him, 1979, a few years back. Hallelujah. And so then that meeting, I went and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Praise God. And so then I started hearing him. You know, within 2 months, God started doing things in my life that was supernaturally empowered by his spirit. You know what I'm saying? You've been around long enough. I know too many of you just become empowered in his spirit. And then I was thinking about that, and now every day of my life, God speaks to me. So from not hearing him and his voice or having that intimacy, and it wasn't that the Holy Spirit wasn't trying to do something there, but it was because my ears needed to be tuned in. Amen. Isn't that the word of the Lord for the 2021? That we need to check our eye gates, our ear gates, and our mouth gate. What we're saying, what we're hearing, and what we're seeing. And I appreciate the Lord so much in giving me that thought. And he speaks to me every day. And you'd say, well, how does he speak to you? You know, I've heard this statement. Well, you know what? God never speaks to me. Okay? Well, I found out that when I started reading the Bible every day, but I'm not reading the Bible, I'm listening to the Bible. And I probably will have my Bible with me as I'm watching. But what happens when I'm listening, there's something in the words, whether it be Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs, or Psalms, there's something that is pertaining to the very day that I'm living in. And maybe it doesn't, you know, that you're not jumping off the page when you're hearing it. But when you walk away, God is with you and he speaks to you about something in the Psalms, Proverbs, New Testament, Old Testament. Takes about 15 to 20 minutes. It's a one-year Bible. Very, very easy. You press it, it's free. And it takes you about 15, 20 minutes. And even when it seems to be the most boring things that you could ever have, God speaks to you in them also. Amen. So we have an everyday God. We have a fight against evil. And I don't put that aside. But we got a good God that takes evil and puts it in its place underneath our feet. The Bible says that if we resist evil or the devil, he will what? He'll come after us and he'll bite you. He's a bad lion. He's a big roaring monster. No. He said when you resist him, with God is good. And I talk to kids about bad dreams. And the enemy tries to put bad dreams. I remember having a dream in fifth grade that I went to hell. Now, I didn't have so much to do with, heaven or hell at that time. But I dreamt that, and I never missed a prayer at that time until I was in 10th grade. And then I started getting into booze and different things. But even if my mind was clear, I was praying, I don't want another bad dream like that. I don't want another bad dream. And you know what? There's a lot of bad dreams that are actually walking out in people's lives today. We have a good God that takes care of the bad dreams. Amen. And even if the dreams are true, and even if you walk through those dreams somewhere, somehow, maybe it was a terrible childhood. Maybe it was a terrible event. We serve a good God. We call upon a good God, and he begins to heal us, begins to do miracles, signs, because that's who he is, miracles, signs, and wonders. I just encourage you today that God wants to talk to you. God wants to fellowship with you. Greatest thing that humanity is needing now is just having a friend, having someone that'll listen to him and just say, and won't judge him, won't point a finger at him, won't put them down because they're not quite where they should be. Your mind's eye, your perspective. When you see who God is, your perspective changes. You begin to be like him. We're going to hear a powerful word of the Lord today from Pastor Tom. Let's see, prophetically, apostolically, and teacher ministry will be in the pulpit today. I'm using the prophetic words that God spoke over. Why not? That's what we should be using. Hallelujah. So we have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God with our tithes, our offerings. Are you excited about that? How many people want to be blessed? All right, and financially, let's just say money. Money, when I get money, I'm blessed. You know, you could have a great meal and you're blessed. But this is part of the blessing. And he said that if you will bring a tenth of what God has done, then what he'll do, he will unlock the heavenlies and begin to pour out blessings upon your finances. I've never seen it not at work. And I used to be very, very stingy. I came from a background that if you gave $10 during the week, you were like, man, you almost bought the church. Isn't that right? I don't know if anyone else. I thought, man, when I gave $10, I walked out of there with my chest a little bit further out and my head up. And hallelujah. I remember my dad giving me his offering because he wasn't going to go to church. And I kind of liked that because I'd take half the offering and put that in my pocket so I could get some soda in the afternoon. My perspective on understanding the tithe and offerings. And it was a $2 offering. And back in those days, I don't know if that was good or not. I think maybe minimum wage was $1.25, so maybe that wouldn't be. Yeah, perspective change is very, very important for all of us. And if he's speaking to us every day, your perspective of who he is and what he wants to do in your life is going to change that day and for the rest of your life. Amen. So with that, I hope that you just, I hope God runs after you and gets you so good in everything that you're doing in the realms of finances. So Jeff, would you come? If you're making out a check, you can make it payable to the community church. If you're giving cash and you want a receipt, talk with my brother right here in the front row, and he'll get your name and make sure that you get a receipt, a tax receipt for that. Hallelujah. All right, you may come and bring your offerings to the Lord. Hallelujah. Good time to stretch, too. Good. You know what? I was going to see. People have to be spirit-led because sometimes I'm not. I'd probably be spirit-led, but I'm not spirit-led for everyone. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited.
I remember when Mary was speaking about the faithfulness, remember about her giving to the tithe and offering last year. And that was always encouraging. And I know many of you think, oh, that doesn't happen to me. Well, that's a lie. You just have to be in the game long enough, because God's not a man that he should lie. That if you give, he says he will pour out the storehouses in heaven. He says, test me in this. But we know we're grounded enough to know you just can't do it a little bit. And I did it, like, you know, I went to the gym and I did my 20. Okay, where's the weight and where's the buff and all that?
I got it here. I did it, yeah.
Yeah. But we saw the check in the mail this week of over $1,500. And we just thank Jesus for that. And we know we're just going to keep doing it. Not because, you know, we don't look for that. We do it because it's the right thing. But God's not a man that he should lie. That does happen. He's faithful. And then we just give him the glory and then he keeps giving. We give him the glory and he keeps giving. We give him the glory and he keeps giving. So we're thankful that the tithe, we test him in that and he's faithful.
You got it. Got the other half.
Yeah, I'll go with sort of precipitate this. How many of you like going to the mailbox and seeing somebody named Bill sitting inside?
No,
not really. And no offense if anybody named Bill here, don't ever call your name Bill. No one will like them too much. But anyway, but you know, I got tired of pulling bills out. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start calling things that be not as though they are. And I'm going to just start, you know, every time I go to the mailbox, there's checks. We can't keep up with the checks that keep coming to us. There's money out there. It's got to go somewhere. It might as well come to us. So, you know, I'd walk out. Oh, I got nothing but checks in my hand. They're all named Bill. I got nothing but checks in my hand. And then eventually we started seeing these come in from sources we never thought of. And here's the thing, God's got sources you've never thought of, but sometimes it's just a matter of looking at what you're at, where you're at, or calling things that be not as though they are, because you see them in the spirit and you got a promise that you see, and you let that become your reality.
Yeah, so good, so good.
And you've got work for the Lord to do, so you need money to do that. I'm talking, you know.
Well,
this,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
been
yeah.
A broken record, you know that.
I'm hearing exactly what you're saying. Well, you know what? If you started praying for people like today, as a minister, you know, you have us pegged. We're money hungry people that want your money, 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 money. And that's not all not true. Because I'm going like this. If I prayed the offering was $10,000 today, of course we would say, well, that's not going to happen. Okay? So if that's in your head, that's not going to happen. Well, it's a little difficult to get someone that has received $100,000, right? Okay? $100,000, and now they bring their tithe and give it to the church, and it was $10,000. Well, what if we had two people that some way God got $100,000, and it shouldn't even be some way. It's because you faithfully went, and you walked this thing out, and pretty soon miracles start happening. Amen? Like sometimes during the week, sometimes I'll make $20,000. Depends on the job that I'm doing, you know, and then you bring your tithe and you feel real good about it, but you know that it was God that gave it to you, and you know that God, I mean, how are you going to do this? And there's other people working with you, and you begin to be generous also, not stingy, generous, because you know that what God is doing, He's doing it. And then it blesses the church, and you'd say, well, you know, why does the church need blessing? Well, like I said, there's about 20,000 square feet here that needs to be blessed every week. Danny's not here, but he's blessing it every day. Amen. Hallelujah. And yes, he gets paid for it, but nothing like he should get paid for it. Amen. So God bless Danny. Being he isn't here, you can tell him that I was bragging about him. All right, all right. And you know, I've been thinking about business. You know, and I wish they could have the picture of my wife and myself going to Home Good, I think it was that, or Good Home over in Fargo. Jenny, you know, Home Goods. Maybe it's Home Goods. Well, whatever it is, Sandy knew about it. And by the time we got done, she had most of the home, and it was good, except I had the pickup, and I had to figure out how to put the Home Good on top of the pickup. And so I got it all tied down. There was someone at the store that helped me and strapped it down, and I'm going, hope nothing moves. And so the pickup was, I mean, it was so high, and we had the whole cab in the back. And I said, man, we're blessed, Sandra. But we still have that 110 miles to drive it back to Thief River Falls. And so I got up on the interstate, and probably the first 2 miles, there was a movement. And I didn't lose anything, but I seen it all move. And I said, okay, honey. I said, we have to pull off. And we did the adjustments and did all of that. And we did get it home. And my wife knows how to shop. And now I can say that I can do some pretty good crazy stuff on loading it up, strapping it down, actually getting it back home. And I do need some help, because everything that she buys, I said, why does it always have to be so heavy? You know? And the longer I live, the heavier it gets, you know? She's not heavy, she's my wife. Hallelujah. But you know what? God's so good, huh? The word of the Lord is going to come. It's going to touch us. See, I'm hearing from God today because Tom has sought God yesterday and probably all week. And really, maybe all of his life. Because understanding something takes more than you studying it for an hour and then presenting it. It's actually your whole life behind it. And so, Pastor Tom, would you come? Let's give him a hand, a community church hand. Bless you, brother. Love you, man.
Thank you. Wow.
Like your haircut.
Like my new haircut. Thank you. Marky, did you come up here? Hallelujah. Did you have something? Well, go ahead. You can stand over here so they can see you. Go ahead.
So this is something like Pastor Jake said. So if you have one pair of dirty clothes and one pair of clean clothes, you would throw the dirty clothes away, and you would wear the clean clothes, and the clean clothes are God, and the dirty clothes are the devil. So, God is a good God to us.
Well, good evening, good afternoon, and good night. I guess that's, how do you follow that up? Hallelujah, Jesus. Man, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. As Jake was just saying, Lord God, I'm thankful for a house that hears your word. God, that you have not hidden your word from us, Lord, but you seek to reveal it to our hearts, and that we would know, Father God, your word and the revelation and how it impacts us this day. So, Father, I thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, in the times we live, Jenny was asking me the question. She says, well, what are we supposed to do? Because it can be quite overwhelming in the world with everything going on right now. And as Jake was just talking about it, I was listening to Graham Cook, and he was talking about, what if we don't have an abortion problem? What if we don't have these things that we bring forth front so strong? But what if we have a lack of goodness on the earth right now? And it brought me back to a word that Dave Wagner's son was speaking that one Sunday morning. And he said he felt like he's seen that it was a John the Baptist anointing that is over this city. I felt like especially there was a few things really highlighted. The first thing is that John the Baptist was humble. And then he laid down his own life. As Jake was just talking about our lives right now, I feel like to me I've been humbled, obviously. And God has moved on my behalf. And then he's asking us to lay down, to proclaim that Jesus was coming. And likewise, I feel the Lord is actually anointing every one of us. Every one of us that is in this city to actually lay down their lives and proclaim that Jesus is coming again. We are really, really in a unique situation because we get a chance to act like John the Baptist in our present time. Jesus is still coming just the same as Jesus was still coming. So I really believe that we are starting to step in the prophetic anointing of the one who proclaims Jesus. We are going to be the one that sees businesses change, right? We're going to see schools change, co-workers change, and entire cities change, something the Lord is wanting to bless us with. And then I got on to, I mean, that's powerful. And it's got me thinking about John the Baptist anointing. And I got thinking about John the Baptist, and I'm going to start in 1 John, where it gets to be explained a little bit of who Jesus was coming as the light. And you know, talk about darkness and light. I mean, good and evil. Paul said you overcome evil with good. Right? What are the things that broke me and saved me? It was the goodness of God. You know, when I was laying down in the situation, I was overwhelmed with the love and the goodness of God. In my state, laying on the bin floor there, I was just overwhelmed. Does that make any sense to you? I was just like, God, you are so good. And all my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so good. And with every breath that I am able, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. I don't know if I deserved it. Actually, I know I didn't. And it moved me because I found myself in a place needing help. And it was so good. It was almost like I wanted to stay there. It was so good. I said, God, what are you going to do here? This is interesting. I felt so good. I knew I wasn't even worried that I was going to die. I wasn't worried about that. But I just said, And I wasn't even worried about the how in the now. I just knew it was going to happen. And I said, God, you are so good to me that you are here in this place with me right now. And it got me thinking about a guy like John the Baptist who shared. It says, in the beginning, in 1 John, it says, was the Word, and it already existed, and the Word was God. And the Word was God, and he existed in the beginning. God created everything through him. And nothing was recreated except through him. The Word gave what? Life. And everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. Say everyone. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never extinguish it. I was moved by this movie about abortion. I forget the name of it. Unplanned. Wow, that was the Holy Spirit. It just came to me. Unplanned. And there was a group of people standing, and they were yelling, and they were saying, murderer, murderer, right? And the women would come, and they would grab, and they would go. And they were disgusted by those people because it hurt them, and it drew them further away. But there was this couple on the side gate. And there was this one lady who was working in the abortion clinic, and she was totally detached from that, you know. And she was going through this, and there was this young lady and this couple, and they began to show love and kindness to her. They began to show their testimony about their difficulties in life and what God can do. They began to relate with her, knowing the struggle and the pain and the hurt. And they didn't use any of the information they gave her against her. Rather than that, they confided it, and they began to speak a message of hope to her. And she was still doing those things at the time, but they kept that goodness going. And it came to a point where something happened in that abortion clinic that rocked her world, and she realized, something's wrong here. I'm in a bad spot. This isn't good. And she didn't know where she could go to. She had no place to go to. But she remembered that couple that ministered to them. And guess where she ran? She ran to that couple. And she began to pour out her heart. She says, how could I have been so? How could I have done that? And she wasn't judged. She wasn't criticized. She wasn't cast out. But she was accepted, and she was let in, and she was given a testimony and a message. You know, John said, a repentance is not a bad thing, but he said it was a light that come into the world that showed her what was going on, and she had a chance to repent, which means get a new thought and change. And she was moved so mightily by that God would still love her, even though all of this, and she knew what she did was wrong, but she was moved with such power because God's love was around her, his goodness changed her, and to this day, she is a champion, highly proclaiming the truth about what God can do in abortion clinics, what God can do, and she's transforming the nations. This is where we sing that song. You take what the enemy had meant for evil, and you turn it for good. That's what just happened there. And that's what he wants to do with me and Jake and you guys, is that there are periods in life, right? John the Baptist anointing, where people are humbled, where we are brought down, but that we would be brought down to a humble place, and God would use us, that he would rise us up and says, you know what? This is what God can do. This is the goodness of God. I'm just overwhelmed. I can't take any credit for it. You know, I had one, David, who was the guy, Tyler, he goes, did God do that for him because he was a pastor? And I laugh because that's the guy that I know. I go, oh, that would be something he would think. You know, because he's a pastor. No, it's because he's a good God. Because I know my life. And I know my life hasn't been, like, I earned something like this. But that God moved on my behalf in that period, and he showed something. This is what John the Baptist, something about that guy, right? And I was talking to Jake about it yesterday. He would preach a message about repentance, but attached to it was the goodness of God about a kingdom. He says, repent for what? It's here. I don't have to just stop doing something and take off those dirty clothes. I can actually put on some nice ones so I don't have to run around with no clothes on. Really? And now it got to your attention. Boy, that's Jeff's spot right there. Imagery stop. That I could put something on. I could put something on called the kingdom of God. I could access God's love. I could access his peace. That's why he says, you've heard it said this, but now I say this. Love your enemies. Do good to those who treat you bad. Do this because your light shines the brightest then. And it's in me. And I'd go down to the hospital. Did you guys see the pictures? I had this thing wrapped around my head. And I had this bottle on my head. Right, with this thing, and people would look at me, and I look at them, and I just smile. Just like, with this guy's. But everywhere I went, I got to share the goodness of God. I didn't preach. I didn't go, hey, da-da-da-da. They just saw my countenance. They felt the peace of God because I had the peace of God. I remember singing that song that I just said at night. I'd be in my room. I'd be going like this, and I don't. The door was open, but I'd begin to sing. It'd be 2 o'clock. Every 2 hours, I'd have to get up because I had this pain. It wasn't pain. No, it was no pain. It really wasn't. I don't know why I even said pain, but I felt like I needed to get up and walk around every 2 hours. Yes, Sif, thank you. And I said, I need to move around because that's healthy for me. And they told me to, so it wasn't pain. Because I was so amazed about how little pain I had. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And I'd get up and I'd walk around, but when I got up, I would get up and I would just say, thank you, God. And then I would sing that song to myself. You, all my life, you've been faithful. And forever, I will sing of the goodness of God. Forever. Huh? It's my life. I don't make it up. It's just not scriptures being thrown at me, but it really, it's the word becomes flesh and it dwells among us. Amen? So he gave me, he brings us through these things. The light. Bright shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't stop it. You cannot stop it. I was wondering how a guy like Leif can go to the hardest countries in the world and deal with, we talk about principalities and powers and strongholds, and he comes with that smile, just contagious. And the guy, you're smiling just because of that. Were you smiling because I smile or he smiles? He smiles. Yeah, thank you. And it just brought you out of something, and it just says, wow, this is good. I just got rebuked by John the Baptist, but I love listening to him, he said, King Herod. Because in that message addressing the issue, there is a message of hope. Right? And we talk about responding in the world. What can I do? You have a message of hope. Gosh. You, every one of you in this room have a message of hope. You don't have to make it up. You became that light because of what Christ did for me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And your life is the living testimony because you've been through something. Jake, you've been through something. Jacob, you've been through something. Deb. Come on, it's a big deal. The one night, my mouth got so dry. It was terrible, Deb. It was so bad. I said, someone just get me some water for my mouth. Because it was so, Jake, it was just so dry. I just need some water. I don't know what that is with all the stuff they do, you know. It just makes you so dry. And it was just one night, Deb. And then Deb told me 20 days. Come on! How did you do that? I know, right? People look at me, they go, how'd you do that? And I just go like this. Because I can't do anything else. Because I know me, I know my limitations. But when Christ in me, the hope of glory, rises up and comes into my situation, I just, I worship. I have to. I want to. It's a delight. It's just like, Lord, you are so good. Even before it was all done, I knew it. And just to have some water, and I began to think about Deb, and I began to think about America, and I think about the world that we live in. Without Christ, come on. Without Christ, how dry. And I just, would somebody just give me a little bit of water? Can I come to a Sunday morning service, or can I talk to someone like Deb or Jen or somebody in this room that would just give me a little bit? Just give me some water. I'm so dry. Well, it's because you're not doing this right now. No! We don't need that anymore. Yes, you do address that, but you bring a message of hope. And the first thing you do is you give them a little water. You give them taste of the goodness of God. There's something about that John the Baptist. He doesn't look so good. He's not the nicest facility in the world. He's out in the wilderness. The guy's all messed up. But there's something I need to see there, because there's a message attached to some hope that has to do with my future. That I have a future, that I have a hope, that I have something there, that God has. I got to go check this out. Because it's true. And if my life, and I remember times in my life, I said, God, if you want to use this, you can use this. Because it was a surrendered life, a laid down life like we just talked about in that prophecy. God, if you want to use this, you can use this. And I'm telling you, I understand. When Max passed away, I realized in my heart that part of me did not want to go there. I fought in my heart because I thought, God, this is just too much. And it's, I don't, be angry with God is wrong. But I did have to tell him about my pain. I did have to tell him about how I felt. And I looked to him because literally I could feel darkness try to come into my life. And the enemy tried to speak to me about that situation. And I knew at that moment that I had to make a decision. I said, God, I need to hear you now. Just like Jake was talking about, God, I need to hear you now. I need to hear you now because you need to speak to me. And I need to hear, and I love what he said to me. And this is for me, and I don't know what for you, but he said, do you trust me? I said, yeah, this is not over. And something just, boom, in my spirit, my heart. I said, okay. I mean, my soul still was going through something, but I said, and I didn't feel so good about myself. I don't know if that makes sense. And I know sometimes you just don't feel good about yourself because of where you're at. Don't feel condemned. But God's working on you because he wants you to surrender that, and he wants to show you something. And I said, you want to use this? You can use this. Just stay here like that because I need that. Does that make sense? I can let go of this if you're here. That's the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Yeah, let's turn that off, but let's put this on. Huh? A smile, a good word, a word of hope, right? Of encouragement, a kindness, a dinner, a smile. Those things open up heart because they're not always deserved, but when you give from that, it opens up people's lives. Why did you do that? Right? Why did you do that? I was so overwhelmed by so much love. I miss some of that, but I still loved you. Everybody loves to be loved on. Amen. Amen. The light. And it could not overcome her. It's that power that this nation needs again. Martin Luther King inspired people with a powerful message that dealt with a very serious issue. And it changed the scope of the country. It's our time now. What is the message, the John the Baptist anointing, that will shift this nation to Jesus again? You know what I'm saying? That's what the country needs right now. We've judged them. We've said it's wrong. And I do agree with some things that are absolutely wrong. But how dry is it? What do you think God sees with some of these people, with how dry it is? Could you just give me a little bit of water? Could someone give me a little bit of water and tell me there's a chance? Is there a chance for some of these people? Is there hope for some people out there? I mean, I get it, especially in the political realm. I get it, and I don't disagree with some things. But is there a chance that there is a people on this earth that can represent the kingdom of God, that can prepare the way, that can open up the hearts where people can find Jesus, right? Is there a chance? I think there is, because we're living proof that there is, right? I am living proof that there's a chance. I'm a living proof what Christ can do in our life. You are living proof of what Christ can do in our lives. And this is what Paul talks about. Oh. what happens with that? No, it's Corinthians. Paul was talking about, I had in Corinthians where he said that we go through things. And Dave can help me where that is exactly because I had it written down. But we go through things in life that are present tribulation, our present difficulties, that we may be knocked down but not destroyed, shaken, you know those words. These present things that we would glorify and manifest the power of Christ in our own situations. Right? And sometimes we want to run away from them. Our greatest moment to shine Jesus, right? And Paul was saying, just wait. Just wait. I've been knocked down. I've been beat up. I've been knocked down. But not destroyed, right? You're not destroyed. You've been shaken, but you've not been overcome. Because Jesus inside of me has given me the power to overcome that. So when those things happen, these are our greatest moments for the church. Come on, it is the greatest moment for me because Jesus wants to rise and shine and say, your light has come and the glory of the Lord is on you. Come on, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's not Tom, it's the glory of the Lord risen. How did you do that? It's nothing but glory. The Muslim community, when they see you move on love and compassion, he says, I can argue your doctrine. I can argue all these things, but I cannot argue your love. You got me. I'm done. And a surrendered life would go through this because they're holding on, hallelujah, that Christ himself went through something, and now I'm going through something that I could testify of the goodness. So that's like looking and saying, what is that? And they look at me and they look at you and they go, what has happened to you? How could you do that? And as Deb goes, it's God. Will you allow God to use you like that? In your present tribulation, in your present difficulty, will you allow God to use you like that? Come on. I don't know where else I would have went, Deb. What else are we going to do? What are my other choices? Right? I could stay, but really when I'm not staying, something's coming on to me. And I recognized that I was in a dark place. I said, I don't want this. God, what do you have for me? I need you to minister to me. I need to hear you. This is Dave. Tribulation, and they faced it. They still had the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? I will forever sing about the goodness of God. I want to respond about the goodness of God. That all my life, God has been faithful. All my life, he has been so, so good. And he continues time and time again to prove himself to me. Come on, these are our moments. This is what a generation is looking for. This is a situation on earth where it's time for to rise and shine. But we have to have it here first. And I changed the way I speak, and I changed. I said, it was like, I see clearly now, the rain is gone. I need to be in the light as you are in the light. I need to shine, but it's because of you that I shine. I see you through all this noise. I don't hear I see you, Lord. I see you, God, how good you can be in the midst of things and how you can use this whole mess in this earth to give you glory, because in this tribulation, in this trial, Father God, your people will arise and shine because the light has come and the glory of the Lord is on you because you are good. And you don't stop, Lord. God, you're so patient with me. Do you think it's taken you a while to get something? I think it's taken me a while. I feel like I'm maybe a little behind my development and where God wants me to be. It's not condemnation, not criticism. It's just saying, hey, you know, God, maybe I'm not as far along as you want me to be right now. But he's so patient and so good to wait for you. I'm glad he doesn't give up on me. I'm glad there's people in my life that have not given up on me. Well, you say, Tom, you were just an amazing child. You did nothing wrong. Did we get that? What do you mean, no? You don't know, do you? Could Could I give somebody the same grace and mercy that I've been given? Just one. I was in the, in closing, I was in Target, and my wife told me not to lock or shut the door because the Suburban locks. Just out of nowhere, it locks. And it's cold, and I said, yeah, sure. And, of course, I shut the doors. And the thing locked, and it was running. It just locked on me. And it's late, and we're at Target and getting stuff. And I said, okay. And she comes walking out, and I go, well, I got to tell her now that I did that. So bad. I just, you know what you do. Yeah, if I would have just listened, I heard that. And I thought, okay, God, I messed up again. I tried. I tried. And I practiced. And sometimes we're just practicing. And not pretending. You're just practicing, okay? You don't have to pretend. Just practice. So I was like, okay, God. Here I am. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I was trying. I really was. So we went to Target. Nice people in Target. Really nice. And I said, oh, great. So I got a tow truck guy to come to me. And we worked on it. And long story short, we got it open. And we began to talk. It's like, what, did you ride your bike or something? Because I had a helmet on, you know. Heard that a bunch of times. Ha-ha. Be nice to people if they're wearing a helmet. You ride your bike. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I did. Yeah, sure. No. Then I get a chance to share my story. Right? I share my story. And I began to share with him. And for some reason, God brought this memory to me, is that I was playing catch with my kids. And part of this was that God showed me I'd be playing with my kids. And I wasn't scared that I wouldn't, but I was so moved that, God, you gave me another chance to do something. And I was playing catch with one of my kids, and he began to weep. And he was struggling with the emotion of everything that we went through. He was trying to explain it. He's my bud. I said, Dad, I just didn't want you to go, and I was worried about you going, and I'm glad that you're here. We just cried. And for some reason, I felt led to share that story with him. And he looked at me and he says, I got a bad back. I've got degenerative, help me, spinal degenerative, thank you. But it's breaking away. He's 30 years old. He says, the pain is just, I can't. I tried to stop it. I mean, he tried to end his life. But he said, I have two kids. I needed to hear that because it's hard. I got a chance to share what God did with me with somebody else, to give them a little taste, a little hope in this crazy world that we live in. We were able to give just a little bit. And I was thankful that I locked the keys in the car because God took a tough situation and he used it, and he still do it. I could have complained. I could have that. But I'm thankful that he's working on me and he's not done. And he said, now use it. And we got a chance to practice it. Church, we got a chance to practice it with each other right now. We really do. We got a chance to practice this with each other. I could use a little bit of love right now. I could use some of us go through some things. I could use a little bit of hope right now. It's tough. I know you're fighting a good fight of faith. And this moment, it's just a moment. You need to understand. Please understand that this moment, Paul says, is just temporary, but it's working for the greater. It's working for an eternal good. If you'll let me use it, if you'll let me use it, I have a kingdom that I want to work through with you in this moment of tragedy or difficulty. Hallelujah. I want you to respond to my goodness and to my love, and I want you to show it. If you'll show it to me, not only will I heal you or heal the land, but I will begin to heal everyone around you and restore people around you, because the glory of the Lord is going to be upon you. And it is upon you. Deb, you move me with your testimony. You move me with your testimony. Joyce Myers moves me with her testimony. My wife's testimony moves me. Why would you dance when nobody else would dance? Why? That was a word, and it moves me. Why would you dance at your own son's funeral? What are you doing? There's something here that's eternal that moves my heart beyond my earthly thoughts into the realms of the kingdom of God. And that's the John the Baptist anointing. It brings a kingdom, and it introduces and ushers people into the presence and the goodness of God, that they may destroy the works of the enemy. that all the seeds that he planted, all the things he tried to hold on to, couldn't stand because the light overwhelms the darkness. And the life and the hope that I have in Christ overpowers all of it. Amen? Man. Yeah, they are. It just gets me. It's okay. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Community Church. Thank you for this house. This is our future. And it's here. And it's okay to practice this on one another. And at times things look difficult, but it's okay because God's working something in us and loving on us and loving on Tom, loving on William and these guys. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit right now. And I just pray for all of us right now because I feel like we're all in a season of God revealing something really deep into our lives. And I am so thankful, God, that you would continue to be patient and show us this. And as we leave here and as we go on, even as we practice this on one another, Father, that there is an eternal hope that we're all pressing towards. And in this momentary time, God, I pray for our faith would maintain strong. And God, that you would restore unto us things that maybe we have lost, that we could gain an eternal prize, not just for us, but for all those around you. I thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your body. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Hallelujah. Thank you so very, very much. Okay. Prayer calendars back on the table or somewhere. Oh. Yeah, the prophetic word that Dave Wagner put out was that the one for the New Year's? Yeah, that one's very, very powerful. Actually, if you slow down in reading it paragraph by paragraph, it's pretty mind-blowing what God is doing in 2021. And I know that a lot of times there's false prophecy, and what I call a false prophecy is something that doesn't line up with the Word of God. And it doesn't mean that... I do this sometimes. I have a false prophecy because I say something that doesn't line up with the Word of God. So that's a false prophecy. So when I hear about the goodness of God, instead of complaining about this, that, and the other, and thinking about Tom going through what he went through, you know, thinking that we're going to lose him just 3-4 months ago, Deb, just the things that she went through. But the goodness of God destroys the wickedness that would rob, kill, and destroy. That's his job. So when we keep on pushing the narrative that Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that's ever happened to planet Earth, it'll go a long ways. I do want to clear up something. You remember Sandy with the vehicle that I loaded up, and then I lost train of thought because I was talking about a business opportunity. That's what I was talking about. Because I, as much as that was fun to do, I would rather not do it again. So I was thinking about, you know, getting a truck enclosed with a box, and I got this from JJ, who used to work at Slumberland, and he moved all the furniture around. He seemed like he really enjoyed it. When I move furniture around, I don't enjoy it. You endure it, and you endure it some more. And I tell Sandra, I said, let's move everything in the place for this day, for a year. So I move I said, okay, no, that chair has to be moved. So, and anyway, that was a job opportunity. And I've been going, man, I just seen this job opportunity. So if anyone is looking, I'd probably invest in the truck and run the business if you want to be part of that lifting the furniture stuff. Hallelujah. So that was the reason why I said that. Tom, I just want to say that the word that you put out today was the word of the Lord. It was a God word. It was what we needed to hear. You know, the Bible's quite a book. It's a large book, and you can't digest all of it in one day or an hour or an experience. But you did a pretty good job of giving us that type of, this is the word of the Lord. God is with us. And if you're struggling, if you're fighting, if you're battling, he's there. And the goodness of God will take care of you. Amen. And I mean, even through death situations, through cancer, through all those areas, God just says, I'm with you. I'm for you. And the goodness of God will get you through it. That's why he gave us heaven also. And Tom, maybe those that don't know him, he lost a son early on with Jen and him. And we went through that terrible time, except a terrible time turns into a testimony time. And then it turns into a life-changing time. And even having your keys with your wife telling you not to take the keys along. I understand that. I mean, that those moments are, that's not the song, this magic moment, you know. If it's a magic moment, it's something that's, there's another goodness of God story. Well, we love you today. We're asking God would be with all of us in such a special way. And you know what? If we practice what we preach, then it'll change our lives forever. And I'm practicing, buddy, what you preached today. And I love the testimony of what took place. And what did he say? Did you ride your bike? I'm going to keep that one. Yeah, Tom had to wear this helmet for protection of his head. I would have loved to have been there. I'm sorry, Tom. I would have loved to have been. Did you ride your bike? That's terrible. All right. Well, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we bless the people of God, and we bless the city. We bless the churches in the city. We bless the state that we live in. And Father, we take spiritual authority. You've given us authority over everything on earth. So we take spiritual authority. We don't, it's like, well, what can we do? Well, we can, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Boy, we got heaven available to us if we'll pray. Heaven thinks, and that's a portal out of heaven. Angels are coming out of heaven. Angels are dealing with every situation. Yeah, I don't like every thing I hear, and in fact, I'm somewhat political, but my political should not ever take place of the goodness and the greatness of God. That can change something. And that's why we pray for our spiritual leaders, our natural leaders, and all those things. So God bless you today. Make sure that you introduce yourself. It's the first time I have a friend that is our, she is leasing our home, or Jake's house. And so Linda, bless you today. It was good. She pulled up alongside of me. And look, I said, praise God. Because I had a conversation with her, you know, this last week early. We were working on, well, she's seen my plumbing skills, and she just kept on saying sorry, and I think it was sorry that your plumbing skills were so bad. No, that wasn't true, but we did get it resolved, and we got a few other things. And through those things, you get relationship, you get to be part of it, and she's working for the pipeline up here. And of course, the pipelines have been attacked in sense, and all we have to do is heaven, you know, ask in heaven if we're losing this, that, and the other. God knows what's going on. Amen. So be blessed. Again, appreciate you all. Have a great, great week in Jesus. Amen.